morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, Lagos. Welcome back to Lagos Talks 91.3, still the early edition at the time for Everyday Money Matters, your financial advisory program. Literacy, I should say. But do be reminded, EMM, yes, Everyday Money Matters, is a financial literacy program, and as such, answers as questions should not be considered as financial advice, but merely the opinions of our guests. Kindly consult your financial advisor for your personal or business financial related issues. Now that that's out of the way, if you want to make money, grow money, or keep your money, then this is the show for you. Like I always say, if money matters to you every day, then you have to listen to Everyday Money Matters. To be a part of the show, to join the conversation, to ask questions about how you can raise or make money, then do call any of these numbers live. There's 0809-191-3913 and 0809-222-0913. Also try 0809-234-5913, which is also our WhatsApp number, or one of these landline numbers. There's 236-7913, 280-2913, and 280-3913. On social media, at Lagos Talks on Twitter. Join the conversation there. Send your questions in there as well, but don't forget to, well, at Nairametrics as well. Use the hashtag EMM. We have our money man in the building, Ugo Dre Obijuku. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Good morning.
What's happening? This one that you are here with this beautiful cup of coffee that's just tantalizing the entire atmosphere. What's happening?
We do this to survive in this town.
Oh, really?
That's some of those things that you got to do every morning.
Oh, wow. See, I guess different strokes for different
mornings.
Folks. Yeah, for you, coffee? No, I take Eba. That's how I wake up in the morning. You know, a very hot Eba. You know, and then even when you just...
Are you trying to be funny?
No, I'm being real. Do you want me to go downstairs and show you my Eba?
No,
I'm not joking.
No.
Hot Eba with spicy hot butter and goat meat in the morning.
Yes,
it's breakfast food.
So what does that do to you?
Finger food. It gives you the same amount of energy that that coffee would. And more. And number two, it lasts longer. How about that?
Oh, Lagos, right. Lagos.
Welcome to Everyday Money Matters. Right. There's a story that I saw this morning. I know you want to talk about some other financial
Which
things.
Which one is that?
It's talking about the IMF. Now, the IMF has been saying Nigeria is on track. And this morning, they mentioned something about, it has to do with where they put our recovery rate at. And I know it started at the beginning of this year at 2.3. Their own projections, took us back 2.0, and now we're back to 2.1. Just to give us an understanding as to what all these figures mean, you know, to the everyday Nigerian who wants to complain about something. I mean, they're reviewing upwards our growth trend. What does these growth trends, what are they about, and how does it affect us, really?
Well, the IMF, if not just the IMF, the World Bank also did its own recently, and World Bank said Africa's growth is probably going to be slower than expected. And you know, these things typically change due to different indicators. There are a lot of indicators that affect how the project
growth rate.
Indicators can be inflation rates, exchange rate, trade wars between countries, good outlook of other countries where we export to or where we import from, because we live in an isolated world.
True.
So that also affects how, you know, they view growth going forward. And of course, a lot of, you know, new government, a lot of the things happening within the country, and this sort of like gives them an idea of what growth might look like. And so they typically revise it probably quarterly, periodically. It all depends. But they also mentioned that, I think there was a World Bank report that said Ghana was probably going to be the fastest growing economy in Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, perhaps even in the world as well, at 8% plus.
Wow.
Nigeria, South Africa, probably going to drag Africa behind. Between Nigeria and South Africa, you have more than 70% of Africa's GDP, sub-Saharan Africa's GDP. So what does this all mean to you at the end of the day? Because Nigeria has done 7%+ growth before.
We have, when in the 60s?
In the last 10 years or so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we've done that before. Just before Jonathan. Towards the end of Obasanjo years.
Oh, wow. So we were growing at that percentage.
Yeah, we did 7% or 8%.
6-7%
GDP growth, but I mean, you know what? These things really don't mean anything.
Okay.
Except that if you want to attract foreign capital into your country, you have to achieve a certain level of growth.
Okay.
That's basically what it means.
Okay.
So if we're growing at 8, 9, 10%, then investors around the world, these are the indicators that they typically look at. So they look at your GDP growth rate, they look at your population, they look at your stability in your country, they look at insecurity. These are like the general macroeconomic indicators they look at.
Okay.
So even if they're coming to invest in tech, in a technology company, they're coming to invest in a bank, they're coming to invest in anything, they will typically look at these indicators as well as drivers of that economy. So that's where, you know, you see that there's a lot of competition, there's a lot of reaction when people talk about GDP projected. So it's something that people really jostle for. Like, you want to hear positive reviews about your GDP growth rate, because it's like a sweetener. It's one of those things that people listen to. So if you're a country that is really looking to attract foreign capital, then you want to have positive reviews in terms of your GDP growth rate. So currently, like I said, Ghana, they said Ghana's going to grow by 8%, which is good for them.
Impressive.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
But there's a downside, Sadiq.
Okay.
What is the point of having GDP growth rate without jobs? So there's every likelihood that you can have GDP growth rate without jobs. Okay. Yes, it's difficult to have jobs without GDP growth rate.
Yeah,
but you can have GDP growth rate without
the jobs. And
right.
I did hear, at least in Nigeria, that there was a point in time where we were growing, but the human
they weren't creating a lot of valuable jobs, very good jobs. So, so job growth wasn't that good. Quality of jobs wasn't that good as well.
Okay.
So, you want to have GDP growth rate with very good job prospects that can actually create quality jobs, right? And then reduce unemployment rate. So there's no point having GDP growth rate and it's not. Poverty is still pervasive.
So
that's really the problem. And to actually have the kind of GDP growth rate that can create long-term, you know, employment for Nigeria or for any country in sub-Saharan Africa, you've got to have sustainable GDP growth rate. So you've got to be able to grow at 8, 9, probably 10% consistently
for years,
like China has done and some other Asian countries have done. So you have to continue to grow at that pace. It's very difficult, especially in this world, but in this cyclical world where things change almost every 5 years.
And then we're affected by a lot of what's happening in other countries.
So you want to have
oil prices.
So why is our GDP growth rate so slow? Well, people would say that, I mean, we're a big country in terms of population size, but then we don't produce a lot, because GDP is basically production. It's
true,
the value of goods and
gross
services produced
products,
in the country this period compared to, say, the base period, which probably is 10 years ago. That would typically determine what your GDP growth rate is. So in Nigeria, GDP growth rate is not fast enough. And of course, we just came out of the back of a recession, so we expected that this is happening. And Nigeria's GDP is also driven by a lot of factors. It's driven by exchange rates, driven by
oil prices,
driven by government revenue. Government revenue has actually been very small. That's actually what's affecting GDP growth rate. And then trade, because of all the curbs we have on the currency market, where the CBN has banned the importation of this.
So that's affecting it too.
Yeah, because Nigeria's trade. We do a lot of trade. We don't produce much.
We do
a lot of trade. So the government has basically shifted its focus from trade to production. But production is taking a long time. Government wants us to produce cars, wants us to produce rice.
And that's going to take a long
everything.
Time to see, or see the effects on the GDP.
So it's going to take a while. So the trajectory or the way the government has sort of, where they've tilted towards, it's sort of, you know, they tilted towards slower growth. So a lot of, you know, critics of the government would say that Nigeria, it's not growing fast enough because of government policies. But government would say, look, well, we want
But we're looking at longer-term benefits.
That.
Interesting. Very interesting. Thank you for breaking it down so that it shall forever remain
broken.
That's
what we like to do.
I love it. Love it. Love it. Right, let's go to the questions. We have some interesting ones.
A few more things, though.
Please go ahead.
There's this... Hold on a second. I think there was a story I wanted to talk about. So, guys, the Federal Revenue Service, they are getting very aggressive. So they got a court order. That allows them to now seize your properties if you don't pay your taxes. So they die your car. They can seize your car.
But who tells you I'm not paying my taxes? Excuse me, I pay my taxes all the time.
Your taxes you pay is... your PAYE, that's your salaries.
Yeah.
I'm talking about taxes for your company. You have a company.
Do I have a Are you a renter? I don't know what you're talking about.
Own a company.
What company?
And you have to check whether you pay tax.
I don't know what you're talking about. deny.
And then, for those who like to play sports betting, lottery, and all that stuff, they are now going to be charging you 5% VAT.
So like they do in abroad now?
On your winnings.
Really?
Yes. Wow. Once you win like this, bam.
They have to thousands.
They removed it. Because a lot of Nigerians play sports betting these days. Like millions and millions of Nigerians. And it's like a, I think I saw somewhere that it's a 2 or 3 billion naira a day business or something.
Wow.
Something like that. So they collect money, like, they make a lot of money. So
we're going to start saying,
we're going to take 5% of that pie.
Wow.
As that. So that was big news because a lot of people didn't like it. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the premier sports betting owners, Akin Alavi, said he didn't like it. He's now in the House of Rep. He might probably fight it there.
Yeah, possibly. But it is going on in other parts of the world, and it's for good reason, too.
But I guess they don't like the fact that they're going to be taking it up front now. They are building in something, a system that as you're taking your winning, the 5% they come out and it's going straight to an IRA. There's no story inside.
Well, hey, if we want development, we have to pay for it, right? Some way or another. This is serious. I have to go and talk about our company, guys. Right, moving on, more questions. Don't forget, you can call in and ask your questions as well. Numbers to call 0809-191-3913 or send your questions in via WhatsApp. That's 0809-234-5913 or join the conversation via social media on Twitter. Let's take a couple of questions this morning. Okay, this one's here, and it's a very, very long question. It's from Inumidu. Yes, I guess he's really happy. It says, I have held shares with CSL stockbrokers as I bank with another bank for convenience sake. Now, I have tried numerous times to lay claims to my dividends with no joy in the past. Now, recently, following Okomo Oil recent announcements for dividends, I reached out to the registrars, Cardinal Stone, who then advised me that they didn't have my signature on record. Now, I reached out back to CSL, who then sent a form to me to fill for share transfer, meaning my holdings have been in name of the stockbroker prior, he's asking. Or laying claims to possible old dividends. I have also been advised to have to fill same each time for every stock bought, paying 1K for each time, regardless of the registrar. So he's asking, is that normal across? Because it sounds strange to me.
That's kind of normal. What's his name again?
His name is Inimidu.
That's kind of strange, though.
Yeah.
Very strange.
That he has to pay every single time and then he has to fill it.
I mean, if you can tweet at me, I'll tweet at the guys at CSL. Let's check this out. It's not really normal because when you buy shares in your name, not in somebody else's stockbroker's name. If the shares bought is actually in your name, you don't even need to go to any stockbroker. Just go to SEC website. I don't know if it's expired, but if you go to SEC website and then you fill the e-dividend form. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then they pay dividend directly to your bank. You don't need anybody. But if you can't do it on, in fact, if you even go to SEC website, you can search. Mm-hmm. You can put in your name into the search bar and then it will pull up whether you own shares.
Or you know the shares you own, how many.
You can do that as well because this is kind of odd,
right?
But you can also just go to your registrars. Take a day off or 2 days off. Go and fill all the e-dividend forms that you can fill so that you can have all your shares accrued to your account. Yeah.
So even if it's past shares, he hasn't collected dividends, it will still be there waiting for him.
Yeah.
Well, so Inumidu, I hope Inumidu. How about that? Move on to another question here this morning. It says, sir, just some bit of advice from you. I'm very interested in trading in the stock market and investments. And truth be told, I know nothing about it, but I'm very, very interested. I wouldn't know if you have, or I want to know, I think he's trying to say, if you have books, hard copies, PDFs, or you could advise on something I should read or via email. I really want to read up till the end of the year to have a full understanding of the sector. Any help from you will be appreciated. I look forward to hearing from you. Warm regards, Israel. Yeah.
Hey, Israel, welcome to the stock market.
Oh, yeah.
The stock market has a lot of blues. Nigerian stock market is not necessarily one of those markets you want to play in right now.
Okay.
It's had this turbulent periods. Share prices are down. It's risky, but it's fun as well. So, and then you'll make a lot of money there. You want to invest in the stock market? We have this article on Aerometrics, how to invest in Nigerian stock exchange. I think you want to read that first.
Nice.
We also have a page dedicated to learning how to invest in stocks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, on Aerometrics. Okay. So you want to check that as well. So, I mean, you know the way we write, very simple, make it very easy.
Accessible.
For you to understand, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think we have a few podcasts as well
on the stock market, investing.
And all that you can listen to. Beyond that, there are a lot of very good books out there. There's Smart Investing, also by Benjamin Graham, one of the oldest books on stocks. Was written in the 60s by someone that they call the Godfather of Value Investing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so you want to read that. Every stock market investor read that book.
Oh, wow.
So you want to start with that book.
Hand up.
And then there's a lot of very good books written, you know, either mostly analyzing Warren Buffett's investment style. There's so many books out there. I think you should probably maybe subscribe to Amazon.
Okay.
And then, you know, you can download some of them. You can buy those books, e-books there. Either you buy them or you might get some free copies as well. There's some that are free.
Okay.
And you can get them and then read. So, I mean, those are the kind of things. And then there are some local Nigerian ones as well that are not bad. We've been mulling writing one for a while on Aerometrics, but I haven't just had time to just sit down and just pen one, but I think I should do one of the days.
How about that?
There are a lot of Nigerian books as well out there that you can read. I guess maybe one of these days we'll probably start to host books that you can read at Nairametrics.com.
Nice.
So that you can just, you know, go there,
yeah,
you download
access.
Them,
yeah.
Or we direct you to where you can actually go and buy them and read. Yeah.
Lovely, 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 lovely. Good. Right, more questions in this time from WhatsApp, and it's from Annie K. And Annie K saying, what's the best place to invest 2 million naira short term? I'm thinking of either a car ride company, a good fintech deposit, or money market. Thanks for your awesome advice. So he has 2 million naira.
Well, a lot of money this is going into fixed income. Yeah, that's why the stock market is bleeding. A lot of people
are running away from that.
Like when you say where's the best place to put 2 million, my brother, it depends on how much you return you're looking for and your risk appetite.
Okay.
There's no best place like that per se.
Okay.
So without asking what your risk appetite is and what kind of return on investment are you looking for? If you're looking for 200% and 300% return on investment, you're looking for an MMM5.
That's not gonna happen.
With high risk, right?
Yeah.
If you're looking for 100% kind of investment, you can go and do sports betting. Throw your 2 million there. Maybe it might just triple.
It might not.
So it all depends. So that's why we say we don't just say, look,
this is the best.
This is the best.
It really depends.
It all depends on your. So the safest, like with fixed income securities, treasury bills, FVM bonds. Safest, but they give you 12% per annum. So if you put your 2 million in there, you're probably going to make how much? 240,000 in a year.
Sure.
So is that good for you? If it's good for you, then that's cool. If it's not good for you, then that's not the kind of investment you want to do. The stock market is a little riskier. You can put 2 million in, you can make 4 million in 2 months, depending on the kind of stocks that you're buying. But you can also wipe out that 1 million. Like I put in some money last year in stocks, and I'm down like 30% from that amount.
From the amount that you put in. Wow.
Yeah. Down like 30%. Now, it's not like those companies are bad because I bought Citibank, Zenith Bank, they're good companies.
Yeah.
And I thought that the valuation that I bought them at were good. But then the market thinks differently. So, and their share prices are down. But I'm going to hold on to those stocks because I think they are good stocks. So I can double down on my investments.
Okay.
So, but then if I decide to sell those stocks today, I'm going to lose an awful lot of money. Right?
30%.
So I can now say, okay, do I want to sell them or do I want to hold them? So it all depends. It's just like you buying a house. You buy a house in a nice place, but maybe for some reason house prices are depressed and the value of your house has now dropped. Do you want to sell the house or do you want to hold on to the house? So it all depends. But then make sure you buy a good house in a good location.
Yeah, that's really so that the value doesn't drop. Interesting. So, and then there's a message in here from Oluwaseun, who is actually adding to this. He says that the book is called The Intelligent Investor.
Intelligent Investor,
That's Benjamin the SEC Graham. Or NCE. Yeah. They have the e-book on stock market investing. So that should help Israel.
Yeah, that's the one I was talking about.
Well, that's what you were talking
Benjamin
about.
Graham, yeah.
Oh, nice. Right, more questions here this morning, this time from, from online. Says, good day, sir. I read one of your articles about investing. I would like to know more about treasury bills. Really?
Visit www.nairametrics.com and type. In fact, if you go on Google and just type treasury bills, you probably see Nairametrics.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So we've got loads and loads of articles on treasury bills, like even podcasts. Like we've dealt with it.
Yeah. Even on the show. In fact, I feel like I'm
treasury bills. CBS should come and just start paying me.
I'll tell you. Even myself, I can open company now. Just be explaining things to people based on what you've shared with me, of course.
Yes.
It's a business. Why are you shrugging your eye? Right, one more question this morning, or at least one of. This is from Mazi. And Mazi is saying, good morning, sirs. Kindly advise me on what FG bond is all about and how to invest in it. Again.
What FG bonds is all about.
Yeah.
This one we've also explained.
Yeah.
But we can't stop explaining for our listeners.
Hey.
So FGN bonds, like you said, in the past, are basically government securities. Government borrows money from you, and in return pays you an interest, maybe 12 to 30%. So you've got the FGN savings bond, which you are advised to invest in.
Yeah.
So when you buy FGN savings bonds, they pay you interest biannually. That's every 6 months for 2 years. So your government is going to hold that money for 2 years at 12, 13% or thereabout, and then they pay you interest for it. So that's basically how FGN bonds work.
Nice.
Yeah. So, and when you buy FGN bonds from the government, you basically are expected, you're basically guaranteed your return. I mean, they don't usually default like that. Government is, investments like that typically are signed as, nearly risk-free investments.
Yeah, because they will pay you back.
Yeah. So that's how it works. But if you're looking for juicy returns, it's not FGN bonds. FGN bonds are not necessarily juicy.
It's just stability and you get your money basically. Yep. So it depends on your risk aversion.
Yes, sir.
Right, there's another one here. It's pretty quick. It says, please, is it cool to engage in Forex trading now? And this is from Andrew on WhatsApp.
Well, I mean, it's not like there's any time you can't engage in Forex trading. You can. I mean,
it depends
on
the
question basically is that, do you have the risk appetite to do forex trading,
the skills?
I was talking to a friend who does forex trading over the last few days, and he was complaining that look, he basically loses as much as he gains on forex trading.
Oh wow.
Yeah, like he gains a lot of money, but he loses a lot. And he's like, look, he's always still people want to go in with, you gotta have like minimum 100k to go into forex trading.
Okay.
It's fun, but it's just that he loses as much as he makes sometimes. So that's why we say that look, it's high speed trading.
Okay.
You gotta be able to have patience and time to engage in forex trading. People make quite some money from it if you're able to beat the market. But like they say, you can't beat the casino, isn't it?
Casino always wins.
The house always wins. Right? So, but at some point, if you're able to win, as much as you, more than you lose,
and then casa,
you're good. Yeah. But that's why some people also like to have like different kind of investing. That's what you call negatively correlated investing. So you have investments that are negatively correlated, are different kind of investments.
Okay.
Stocks.
So that they sort of
offset each other.
Okay, so if you're losing
here,
at least you'd be gaining somewhere else. That difficult to get, because I know there's this whole Forex revolution, everyone wants to get into it. So it is
not as easy as fun. I mean, like, it makes you feel like you're just one bad.
Mother, shut your mouth. right, fantastic. Thank you. Right, so that's it for Everyday Money Matters. That's all the questions we have. We run out of time. So tell us, if people want more information, if they want to learn more or continue asking about FGA bonds.
Yeah, so as usual, hit my Twitter handle at @Ugodre if you're looking for
Go on. Look, forget these things. Yeah, just go on.
Jesus. Anyway, of course, visit www.nairametrics.com. We didn't get phone calls today. What happened?
I don't know. Maybe I didn't.
People are getting tired of calling your number because it's always going off.
Yeah, but I actually didn't really look at it, I'll be honest. But yes, please, if you can, call in, send in.
You can also call in to ask questions and contribute to the show.
Yes.
Visit our website, www.nairametrics.com. And then, of course, you can follow us on Twitter as well, at @Nairametrics. And, of course, you can also follow, you can also send your questions, actually.
Yeah.
In fact, it's even better to send your questions to Nairametrics number.
Oh, yeah,
0805-104-0390. 0805 104-0390.
Can we? Yeah, let's do this. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Everyday Money Matters. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Babaji.
Babaji. You know,
Wednesday. It's very hard for me to call Wednesday, but I just decided to call.
Thank you. Yes.
Simple question. I want to ask the experts.
Okay.
Does it mean the stock market and the forex trading is like a gamble? That is the only question I want to ask. Because what you rightly said now is that you can put in some money, at the end of the day, you will lose everything.
Yeah.
So if you put it side by side, is it gamble you are telling us? Sometimes you may, you know, hammer, and the other time you may lose all you have. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Babaji. is it like a gamble?
I mean, Babaji, I won't say it's a gamble. It's not a gamble. It's more like it's risk. So any business you put your money in is risky.
There's a risk involved.
You just got to understand the dynamics of it. You can say you want to enter pure water business. Like, you put your money in a post like that.
Yeah, that's possible. Exactly.
You know, gambling is when you do, you know, your odds, like gambling. You're betting against something that you actually have no control.
Real control.
So two people are playing ball somewhere else, you're betting against them.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually some kind of bets in the financial market as well that is kind of akin to gambling. It seems a bit like gambling. Like so, for example, there are financial derivatives that you buy. So, for example, there's one that they call credit default swap. Yeah, very, very crazy derivative. So, basically, they are saying that they can. Let's assume Sadiq borrows money from Ayo. I can be here and say, look, Sadiq is going to default. It's got nothing to do with Sadiq.
Yeah.
Sadiq is not even aware that I've taken a bet.
Okay.
So I've said Sadiq will default.
Wow.
Right. And then Charles says, no, Sadiq won't default. So I'll take a bet that Sadiq will default. Charles will take
a bet against me that
Sadiq won't default. And then, as I'm doing this, I'm looking at Sadiq's books and all that. I'm pretty sure that Sadiq would default and blah, blah. I'm putting pressure, writing articles, writing awesome. Just putting pressure.
Make sure that
and then once Sadiq defaults,
yeah,
I take the money that Charles.
Wow. And this is part of the financial system.
This is normal. They kind of stopped it at the time when the stock market crashed several years ago.
It's
also called short selling and all those things.
So
I'll just take Charles' money.
Charles' money just becomes money. And I'll take Charles' money too.
Even like me.
Charles doesn't even know what we're talking about. He's already defending himself. Can you imagine? All right, Lagos. See you guys later. Have a nice rest of the week, rather. All right. Remember, www.nairametrics.com. See ya.
Lovely. That's it for Everyday Money Matters. Do keep listening.
I realized it was you who didn't want to pick those calls, did you?
No, I did. They're there. See, they're still ringing. They didn't stop calling on time. That's not my fault. Thank you so much for listening and thank you for calling in. Stop making the calls earlier next time, all right?